Welcome back to the Budweiser pregame show. Brian Schultz with Jeff Tesh, head coach of the BSU Beavers. Coming off of last Saturday's game, Jeff, how rough was the weekend? How rough was the film session?
Well, first of all, you know, there's positive to everything. It was a 10-0 game, and if our defense plays that well the rest of the year, we're going to win a lot of ball games, and that's a good thing. The frustration for the offense after they watched the film, it was, a head shaker. You know, they definitely had a plan to stop the run, and so we came out, we were trying to throw the ball, and we couldn't hold on to it. Overthrew guys, and then for whatever reason, some of the frustrations of the run game were some of the most dependable guys just not blocking the right guys, and wasn't anything we had practice against. It was everything that we had in our game plan, and for some reason the guys didn't, you know, do the right thing. So I think the good news there, again, is we weren't overmatched. Some guy threw us and whipped us, that kind of thing. It's just getting a hat on the right hat and probably simplify things this week. And the guys were frustrated, mad. They know they could have played better than that, and that's okay too. And the other positives, we were 1-1 at the same position last year after two games, and we ended up having a great year. So that's what we're going to try and build on.
Defensively, you go into the game down one of your best cornerbacks. Lost him in practice late in the week. So you're starting a redshirt freshman and a sophomore against an offense that put up tons of numbers against St. Cloud the week prior. Safe to assume you're a little nervous going into it.
Sure. And but I also said that I think Chris Bellinger is going to be as good as any corner we've had here. And he just needed his turn to get out there, and he showed that he can be a good football player for us. So I was proud of those guys, how well they did back there.
Really, other than the one long touchdown pass to Schulte, their offense was sputtering a little bit too. How much of a factor was the wind?
The quarterbacks didn't really say that it was, but yet you watch, and sometimes it's the old, you think it's going into the wind is a problem, but a lot of times you have more problems throwing the long ball with the wind, and that's what happened for us. We had three times we had guys pass the corner by probably 5, 6, 7 feet, and we overthrew it by 5, 6, 7 feet. So that was disappointing, and so it probably bothered us more with the win than it did again. So it was a factor.
Well, as inept as your run game was, you didn't have many choices but to keep throwing it, did you?
Yeah, and it's a combo of, you know, they were saying we're not going to give you the run, and we weren't running the ball good for, again, it was more assignment problems, backs, choices, the holes they were taking in that. And then as you were trying to catch up at the end, like I said, our running backs had 7 carries. And, you know, the quarterback and Lance, the quarterbacks had a few other ones. But, yeah, it was just a frustrating day trying to get some rhythm. And every time we did have a big play and have something happen, then we had a penalty, which are the other inexcusable things. And, you know, again, got to be positive. There's a lot of football left in the season, but some of the penalties – were good, were guys hustling, busting their tails downfield, trying to get a block. They just made poor choices about holding and clipping and that kind of thing. So, you know, and again, they were guys you would think that would make better choices. So, yeah, just a real frustrating day offensively, and I think we'll get her going this weekend.
It's never a good sign when the punter is named the player of the game by the radio guys, but Jesse Sunby, 11 punts, which is way more than you ever want. But I thought into the wind and with the wind at his back, I thought he did a pretty good job.
He did. And if you knew that he didn't put a shoe on till Friday, you'd be more impressed. He dropped a weight on his kicking foot during weightlifting, I think, I want to say Tuesday or Wednesday, and didn't know if he was going to be able to even play. So that was a nice day for Jesse.
On to Southwest, new coach. What are you expecting out of them?
Well, like I say, offensively, they throw the ball a lot. The quarterback's as good as anybody in the league. He throws a nice deep ball. They run a ball a little bit, but you know us, we do a good job against the run, and we're going to try and make them earn it and not give up those big plays. Same game plan we're going to have every week, and we just can't give up those big plays, and that's going to be the key. And they keep us in the ball game. I'm just going to go on a limb and say we're not going to play as bad as we did again offensively. So hopefully that's enough to give us that opportunity again.
I went to Southwest when I was there, and it seems like since I've left, they're kind of a no man's land recruiting wise. They're sandwiched between a bunch of big time schools. It's hard for them to get the big-time, big playmaker kind of guy, but it always seems like they seem to piece together enough guys that they're not too shabby.
Well, their talent level is real good, and especially offensively, their skill is probably the strength of their team are their skill players. You know, quarterbacks from, what, an Arizona school or something like that. So they find a way. Location, you know, probably is their strength and their weakness too. You know, they've got a nice facility to show recruits, but is it the rural setting that you want? Sometimes we're too rural up here in Bemidji too, and sometimes we're in the Bermuda Triangle between the North Dakota schools, the South Dakota, St. Cloud, that type of thing. So they do a good job, though. They find their niche and find some of the arms and legs of their, the heart and soul of their team, the Iowa kids, the South Dakota kids, that kind of thing, and then they have to go out and find their arms and legs somewhere else, it seems like.
Andrew Regan was named Beaver Pride Male Athlete of the Week. Middle linebackers are supposed to be involved in plays, but he had 12 tackles, which is maybe a little higher than what you want, but certainly another solid outing from him last week.
Good experienced player. You expect him to do that in big games your senior year, and he's just off to a whale of a start.
What kind of a kid is he?
He's a true Chicagoan. he's blue collar all the way. Doesn't say a whole lot. Works extremely hard. He'll play hurt just like any linebacker should. He just a good downhill, good effort guy, and he's just exactly what you want for a linebacker. Just slam it in there, guy that's there every week.
How do he and Corey Crosby work together there in the middle?
Well, they're similar. Neither one of them really say a whole lot. They're not the Jake Andersons like we had last year, that hoot and holler, but they're both durable. They're dependable. Corey is a kid that would never do anything wrong as far as assignment. He's going to be in the right spot. He runs extremely well. They both are kind of built the same way, and those two complement each other real well. We got a good pair in there.
Typically in a 4-3 defense, it's that middle linebacker that's making all the defensive calls. Who makes it in your defense?
They both do. They, you know, by what happens in the backfield, they may have to make a call on their side or that side. So they both have responsibilities out there to do those things.
How are you doing on the injury front?
Not bad. We came out of the game good. Didn't get anybody else hurt. So we won't have Sid the rest of the year. We'll try and get a medical red shirt for Sid at the corner spot. And Jake Kelly, who got in the first game, he won't be back. He'll have to have knee surgery. And other than that, we should have everybody ready to go by the weekend.
Good luck.
Thank you.
More of Midday Live is on the way from 92.1 The River.